The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 16th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us on this gorgeous Monday afternoon here in the Auburn Opelika area. Most people, as far as I know, off work today, off of school today, but not us. We are committed and dedicated and here for you. I had to drag Christian out of the driving range today, and he did not want to come to work, but he's here, I'm here, and we're happy to be here with so much to talk about on this Monday afternoon. Happy Monday to you, sir, Christian. How
are
you?
Yeah, man, happy Monday. I mean, this is incredible. It needs to push pause for a week and a half until we get to call in our high school baseball broadcast, because you already know we're going to have that fake spring where it's supposed to be mid-70s, creeping up into the 80s, and then we're going to go call our first high school game. And it'll feel warm, and then that same weekend we'll be back to 41 degrees and back to hoodies and jackets. When everybody begin putting theirs away, you go right back to them. But my goodness, very happy with how everything feels today outside. Yeah, I know. The driving range was just calling my name. No simulator today. I mean, put me out on the real grass. Give me some real tees. And, man, the new clubs are sitting in the bag right now and are pretty sad doing
so. They're depressed. Yeah. very
much so. They need a little vitamin D here today. But no, excited to be able to be on the show once again for you here this afternoon. A really good setup. We have talking a lot of basketball on the hardwood for Auburn. I guess somewhat unfortunately, the way that we have to describe it here today, as we dive into the game itself against Arkansas. We dive into a little bit of a coaching conversation, because there's been some rumblings on SP, and I think I feel like we have the responsibility of putting that to bed just a little bit on the overly negative side of things. Also, no official updated bracketology. We'll be able to have some more insight on that tomorrow. But Auburn as an 8 seed before the loss to Arkansas. Where are they at now with 6 games left? excuse me. Dang. Whoa, that was almost...
Yikes.
Almost lost it there. Really choked up about Auburn and Arkansas, if you can't tell.
That's what it sounds like.
It's more of Auburn baseball just gets me so happy. I just brought to tears.
We almost had bad conversations about Auburn baseball today, but they figured it out.
We did almost, but no, we didn't. And now we get to have a great conversation. We'll continue that a little bit more tomorrow. We will dive into a little bit of that here in hour number two. But again, with bracketology, 6 games left in the season, the quad one games really keeping you afloat right now. But man, could those get washed away with your upcoming schedule if you don't do what you're supposed to do, if you don't handle business, if you don't get rid of the distractions, as Coach Stephen Pearl said. All of that here coming up on the Monday edition of On the Line.
Yeah, so until we get to our weekly Monday guest, Jacob Hillman, at 3:30, phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us what you think about Auburn basketball, Auburn baseball, anything else on your mind, Olympics going on right now, or anything else that you want to talk about. We'd love to hear from you on this Monday afternoon. 334-321-1390. Right, I'm sure a lot of you are out driving around today. Believe me, I saw it firsthand. There's a lot of you driving out around today. And yeah, give us a call. I'm sure you got some thoughts. 334-321-1390. And the text box is always open at 334-784-1067.
Give us your thoughts on the Canadian curling cheating scandal. No,
that has really taken off. It really has. With some, can we play that audio? No, we definitely cannot.
No, probably not.
Yeah, dude, wild stuff on curling is already exciting for people that haven't watched it. But yeah, now you've got Canadians. When a Canadian starts cussing at folks, you know something's going down, right? For the folks that apologize for when you bump into them and they apologize to you, and then they start dropping F-bombs, you know that something's going down. But, yes, we start today's show with Auburn basketball, who goes on the road to Arkansas over the weekend, where we knew it was going to be an uphill battle. We knew this was going to be a tough game for Auburn to win, right?
I got nervous because I went to ESPN again and an ad started playing, but my computer volume was off today.
Growth, baby. That's growth. And we knew that Auburn, it was going to be an upset for you to win this game. And that was before the Keyshawn Hall news came out.
Yeah, I was going to say, even with Keyshawn, you feel like it was an uphill battle.
And we knew that Arkansas was going to be waiting for you. We knew they were going to be excited. We knew the fans were going to show up. And we knew Auburn had to play one of its best games to come out with a win. And that simply didn't happen. Auburn falls to Arkansas 88-75. You lose by 13. And Auburn has now lost four straight games in SEC play. 14-11 on the season. 5-7 in SEC play. And the conversations are starting to happen about the
5-7, you say.
What?
Back to football.
Ah, yeah. A lot of familiarities and similarities here. And so the conversations are starting to happen, Christian, about Auburn and their tournament hopes.
Yeah.
People criticizing Stephen Pearl. People criticizing this team. And we're going to get to all of that today. But your initial thoughts on Auburn losing to Arkansas by 13 on Saturday night?
It's very cut and dry. You feel like the way that a lot of road games go in the SEC. The home team gets off hot. The road team kind of claws their way back in the final 4 minutes of the first half. It's back and forth. Maybe a little bit of a run by the home team to get things started in the second half. But you know that there's a little bit of a run. You just have to wonder how long is it going to be. And Auburn did go on a little bit of that run. But unfortunately, because of the hole that you dug yourself in, the run cut it to 8, cut it to 6, cut it back to 10 maybe. Mm-hmm. And after that, you just continued to go back to Darius Acuff. If you were Arkansas, you continued to go back to Billy Richmond III if you were Arkansas. And, I mean, Auburn's guard defense, again, box scores tell a little bit more, but they also don't hide some of the lies. And, I mean, you give up 56 points to their two guards. Feels like it's going to be a really long night.
I mean, you're just not going to win. You're not going to win those games. And it continues to be frustrating on so many levels for this Auburn basketball team. Again, give us a call. Give us your thoughts. 334-321-1390. Look at the defensive numbers, man. Auburn has given up 88 points, 84 points, 96 points. 77 on the road to Tennessee is fine. You still gave up 82 to Texas, right? In a win that you had to scratch and claw for. And so my thing that I brought up on Saturday night, I filled in on after the game on Wings 94.3 with our friend Jack Hutton, was Stephen Pearl had to set a precedent on Saturday. I guess he didn't have to. He chose to. He chose to sit Keyshawn Hall. He chose to sit his best player who didn't even dress out, stayed in the sweats, right? He chose to do that for reasons publicly we don't know, okay? And I think he did that for several reasons. One, sending a message to Keyshawn Hall. Two, sending a message to his own team. And three, sending a message to Auburn fans of, I'm the head coach. I'm going to make this call. I am reminding you who's boss here in a strict way to say it, right? But the concern that I have, Christian, is a lot of it comes from Keyshawn Hall's inability to play effective defense, which Stephen Pearl has talked about very openly. But Keyshawn Hall didn't play in this game. You still gave up 88 points, and as you mentioned, you let two of their guys go off for 25-plus. That's concerning to me that Keyshawn Hall doesn't play in this game, a lot of it because of his defensive liabilities, and yet your defense still was not what it needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, and credit to Keyshawn Murphy, who almost had to play in the paint by himself all night. He played 34 minutes, which is the most that he's played all season long. And you talk about a great first half, had 18 in the first half, finishes with 22 and 12. I mean, those numbers in itself. And then you look at Tahad, 29, 7, and 3. You look at those two guys, and they stepped up at least on the offensive end of the floor. But you feel like in a lot of these post-game press conferences, we've had a lot of conversations with Stephen Pearl. And how many times has he brought up offense being the issue?
Rarely.
I don't think that he has.
Yeah.
Because, again, 75 points on the road might not be enough to win against an Arkansas team. But when you see guys step up the way that Keyshawn Murphy and Tahad Pettifer did, that's good enough if you get anything from your supporting cast. That being said, especially when you are on the road, your defense has to turn into offense. You cannot be taking the ball out of the bottom of the net, inbounding the basketball, if you want to have any success on the offensive end of the floor.
Yeah, only scoring 75 on the road is not good enough to get it done, but giving up 88 points on the road is not good enough to get it done either. So pick your poison, I guess, if you're Auburn.
One big thing before we get to the phone lines, there were four players in this contest that combined for a 41 of 64 shooting. With Keyshawn Murphy, Tahad Pettifer, Darius Acuff, and Billy Richmond. 41 of 64. That is absurd. Everybody else in the contest went 20 of 52. Still isn't terrible. The only difference is those other players for Arkansas went 13 of 30. Auburn's players went 7 of 32.
Not good enough. You lose by 13. Let's get to the phone lines for the first time today. 334-321-1390. We got you on the line. You're hot on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Spectre here.
What's up, Spectre? What's on your mind, my man?
Well, I'm really upset about this Keyshawn Hall thing. You know, I understand Pearl's position on this. You want to send a message. But my Lord, the message is to lose the game. You're setting down your offensive player of the year. I mean, send a message, okay? What do you want to do? Okay, take his money. If you want to hurt somebody, you want to make a message strong and heard, take the money.
Yeah.
I know NIL's not set up that way, but by George, we need to set it up that way. I don't know who's going to be able to do that, whether it's Congress or somebody, but these kids just can't take the money and just do what the heck they want. Attitudes going all over the place. And I mean, Auburn, I tell you what, if Keyshawn Hall does not play Wednesday night, if he does, is it Wednesday night?
Yes, on the road at Mississippi State.
If he doesn't play from that, they said he was indefinitely suspended.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's out, Auburn's done. I'm telling you, they're done.
Mm.
I mean, if Keyshawn Hall would have been in that game, we would have scored. He would have scored enough points where we could have won that game.
Maybe so. And maybe that's the message, right, Specter? Maybe that's the message to Keyshawn Hall behind closed doors, which may not be fair to the rest of the team or the fan base or the donors or whatever, but maybe that's the message that Stephen Pearl sends to Keyshawn Hall and says, look, man, we needed you tonight. I couldn't play you, but if we had you, we win the basketball game.
Well, look. You're getting $500,000 to play for Auburn, and whether you're on the floor or not. That's how, you know, yeah, his attitude was different during the game, sitting on the bench in sweats.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, what'd you say?
What's that? Go ahead. You still there, Spectre?
somebody else is talking. I can't. Hello?
All right. Well, I guess we lost. I don't know. I guess we lost Spectre. I don't know. Spectre, we appreciate the call. Sorry about that, my man. I guess we lost him. So who else do we have? Do we know? John. Okay. John, I think we have John in Auburn. John, are you there, my friend?
I am here. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you? Go ahead.
Good. Just wanted to weigh in on this, and I am the opposite end of the spectrum from Spectrum, or Spectre, whatever, what his name was.
Spectre, yep.
Spectre, listen, and I'm a former high school teacher and have coached different events, not sporting events, but other events. And I think what Steven is doing is the groundwork for the program in the future, not just for one game. And I can understand that because when he sets this precedent, they're all going to believe him in the future when they do something like that. They're going to adhere to what he says or listen to what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to lay that groundwork in a program early on. And I just think it will pay dividends in the future. Yes, they lost the game. But if you start just curtailing, if you start bowing to the best player all the time, the best player will call all the shots.
Right. Yeah. And
you can't do that.
Yeah. And look, that's the thing. And I'm glad we had back-to-back callers like this who have different opinions on it because both opinions can be right, right? Two things can be true at once. Did Auburn need Keyshawn Hall Saturday offensively? Absolutely.
Yes.
But did Steven feel the need to do something and send that message, and did he think that was the right decision? Absolutely. And I think you make a lot of good points with that.
And, John, furthering on your conversation of this is something that I think Steven is using beyond just these next six games. This is something to build that he's going to use to set the locker room, to set the structure how he likes for seasons moving forward.
Because if he doesn't do that, he's not going to be a successful coach anyway.
Right.
Especially as a young guy, first-year head coach, not just at Auburn, but just a first-year head coach altogether, right? And let's think about this logically, too. Auburn going on the road to Arkansas, they were going to be underdogs even if Keyshawn Hall did play. And I think defensively, you may not have won the game with Keyshawn Hall out there, right? I know he averages, 20 points a game or whatever it is, but that doesn't directly correlate to Auburn lost by 13. If Keyshawn Hall is there, they automatically win the game.
No.
So
that's two different things, and I don't know. I'm glad he did it. If he has the right reasons behind it, I think he does, because in this day and age, you still have to be the coach. And no matter about the NIL deal, I mean, I don't know what they're dealing with. And like the last caller said, yes, they lost the game. They didn't get. You see, Steven was still trying to win the game. It's not like he went in there ahead of time and said, okay, we're going to lose this next one. He didn't go in with that mindset at all. If he went in with that mindset, then we do need to fire him. But I don't believe that at all. He still wanted to win badly and thought we could win.
I agree. I totally agree. And I think, again, he felt the need to do it. He felt the need to sit his best player, to send a message. And look, if Auburn could have won that game. That's the thing. Auburn played good enough at times to win that game. Yeah. But you knew at least going in, you did not have Keyshawn Hall, and you had to find a way to get it done, and you couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, we've seen Auburn. Well, Bruce Pearl had situations, even in the tournament, where he came up with big wins when they lost their best player.
Yeah.
Jumo Kiki comes to mind. Now, it wasn't a discipline issue with him, but, I mean, he had it. Certainly, Bruce had enough confidence that they could win anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think this is a learning moment.
Won the national it is.
For Steven. For anybody else, it's a learning moment for Steven to figure out how to win games without your best player, and who knows how long they have to do it moving forward. But, John, we appreciate the call, my friend. It's good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in and being a part of the show. We're talking Auburn basketball as they lose to Arkansas 88-75 over the weekend. We got more phone calls and text messages to get to when we come back. We're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, welcome back into the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's a loser Monday. Losing Monday, an L Monday. Haven't had one in a minute, but actually, we had one last week.
I was about to say.
We haven't called it that in a while here on the show, but we appreciate you being with us. Again, a beautiful Monday, and we want to hear from you. Your thoughts on Auburn basketball falling to Arkansas over the weekend, 334-784-1067. We're about to get to Clay in Montgomery, who's been holding on, so we appreciate that. We're going to get to him in just a second. Do want to read this text, though, very quickly. It says, the contrast of not playing a guy who breaks team rules or doesn't hold up team standards, right? Which is what the message was from Stephen Pearl about Keyshawn Hall. Says the contrast of not playing a guy who breaks team rules versus another program that plays a player that they know is ineligible. Funny how that works. 334-321-1390. Clay in Montgomery, we appreciate you holding on, my friend. What's on your mind on this Monday?
Hey guys, hey, I got a little bit of a different. I'm hearing something a little different than what's being talked about in general, and you can talk about take the money away from Hall if he's not doing what he's told to do. That sounds great in theory, but I mean once you write him a check and he's put it in the bank, you can't go into his bank account and bring it back out.
Sure,
I don't think that's the way these quote unquote NIL deals. But you're just pay for play. We all know that. We really should change the way we talk about them and never say NIL again. Very few of them. I don't see anybody out doing commercials for, Milo Sweet Tea anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's their contract.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, it's the contract.
Right. That's right. So let's. We have to kind of put that aside. But what I have heard, Stephen Pearl, SP. Say over and over. Now he had called out without naming them. He called out Tahad and Keyshawn Hall about you got to play defense as well as offense. And we don't know. We're not in practice. We don't know how many things are. Look, coach, I'm playing 38 minutes a game. I don't have the energy to do that. Versus, how many times do I have to tell you, Keyshawn? Do this, and you're sitting there, and you're looking up at the crowd beating your chest because you just hit a big three.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know those insides and outs of it. What I have heard Stephen Pearl say multiple times, including this weekend, is we got to be more concerned about stuff on the court than stuff off the court. And what I'm hearing loud and clear is Keyshawn Big Guard Hall is spending more time doing his podcast than he is studying film, than he is working on getting in the right position on the court, you know, to play defense, to get in the right stance. Because if you don't start in the right spots, you can't end in the right spot. I'm hearing that kind of crap. And I see it seems like Tahad kind of got the message because, I mean, he dropped 30 for the first time, maybe this year, or 29. I don't know if that was his biggest game this year, but it was probably his best game. And I think the good side is it looked like, you know, Keyshawn was not – he made the trip. He didn't stay at home and sulk. He didn't sit on the sideline and pout. Who was the guy we had last year that – was sulking on the court.
It was Ja'Kai Howard.
Crap, number. Yeah, Ja'Kai Howard was like, boo-hoo me. I should be getting the ball more. And he took his ball and went home. Who even knows where he is now? So, you know, that's the positive side is Keyshawn maybe can say, okay, I'm going to put my podcast aside for a little bit, and I'm going to be a team player, and I'm going to try to do what Coach Pearl wants me to do.
Right.
And then the other side of this, just, and I know I'm being a little bit long-winded. Thank you for putting up with me.
Sure.
But
I got about a minute left for you, okay?
Steven has gone from being the assistant coach that is like the big brother, best friend of the players, and his dad was, you know, he's, you know, 25, 30 years older than Steven is. He is the sound of, you know, the force. And Steven's more of a buddy to him and a big brother. Well, now he's gone from being a big brother to, no, now I'm the boss. You got to do what I say. Oh, yeah. I remember we used to mess around. No, we don't mess around anymore because I'm the damn boss.
Right.
And so that's a transitionary period of who is going to fall into it and who's going to back out of it. And for all this about if he'd have played and had 20 points and won, you can't do that. How about if Kevin Overton, God bless him, God love him, for playing 38 minutes, you got to score more than 5 points, baby. If you're a shooting guard, you got to score more than 5 points. Thank you for letting me vent and get that all off my chest. Thank you, Jacob.
Appreciate the call, Clay. Good to hear from you, and thanks for listening over in Montgomery. And a lot of good points there that I want to unpack. We're about to get kicked out of here with the music, but we're going to keep talking Auburn basketball, not just the game itself, but a lot of the points that our callers and texters are making and what the future holds for this season, because you said it, and it's crazy, but, man, it's true. We're down to 6 games, man. 6 games left in this season, and Auburn's got to find some way to turn this thing on and turn it around. And so we're going to keep talking about it. Auburn and Arkansas, give us your thoughts on Keyshawn Hall, your thoughts on Tahad Pettiford, everybody else on this team, and what Auburn can do starting Wednesday night on the road at Mississippi State. Give us a call, 334-321-1390, and shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. 30 minutes in to hour number one. Stick around.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
We've got 30 more minutes in hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And again, phone lines are open. They've been hot today. Don't know why. I mean, Auburn's only on a 4-game losing streak. Their best player didn't play on Saturday, and now people are talking about this team missing the tournament. Why would Auburn fans be upset on this Monday? I can't figure it out.
No reason at all, right?
No, no, it's okay.
Weather. It's really just pissing people off today.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. The sky is too blue today. Bring me more clouds. Bring me colder weather. Could be snowing like it is in Milan right now.
Yeah, I mean, my steak is too juicy, my lobster's too buttery, and Auburn basketball on a 4-game losing streak? What's there to complain about?
Life is terrible. No, I totally understand, right? Auburn fans are upset, they are frustrated, and there's not just one reason why.
No.
That's what has people concerned right now Auburn team.
Not one reason and not one solution.
Yeah.
Rather than it being, man, this offense needs to score. Man, we got to play a little bit better defense, but everything else seems to work. Man, this team doesn't have the energy. They need to pick it up. There are all of those, and then including the off-the-court stuff that has been a little bit of a issue, I guess is the politically correct way to say it, all season long with Steven calling out a couple of his players.
It's a moving target, man. The goalposts keep moving, and Auburn fans don't know how to feel. They don't know what to ask for. They don't know what to cheer for at this point.
Too soon with Auburn special teams.
Yeah, my bad. My bad. That's on me. Phone lines continue to be open, though. We know you've got thoughts. We want to hear from you on this President's Day. 334-321-1390. We get back to the phone line. Spectre, you're back, my friend. Finish up what you had to say.
Yeah, you know, I understand what everybody's saying, and I understand what John was saying. He was the one that I kept hearing over the line.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But anyway, you know, I understand where Pearl's coming from, but, you know, we're in a position right now where we got to win games. We don't have that privilege of sitting back and punishing somebody and throwing a game away. And a lot of people don't agree with that. I'm telling you right now, from a coach's side, you're not going to win that game without Hall. That's the bottom line. Look what we did to Arkansas when they played here. I mean, we could have done that same thing there. But, you know, if you want to punish somebody, you know what I would have done if you want to send a message to Hall? Set him out the first half and let him play the second half.
Yeah, and I get it. I do. But and crazy enough, and this is such a crazy statement, but it is how sports work sometimes behind closed doors, Spectre, is sometimes there are moments
and messages that are bigger than a win or a loss. And
well, I tell you what, you tell that to the AD.
I totally understand.
I mean, the name of the game is you got to win the ball game.
Yeah, I get it. And I do.
I mean, you're not here to bring, I tell you what, in this day and age with this NIL thing going on here now, you cannot discipline a guy like you could 5 years ago. You just cannot do it. They're here one day and they're gone the next.
Mm-hmm.
All's not going to be here next year. What kind of message are you sending him? If you don't play the man that's bringing in the points, you're not going to win the game. That's the bottom line. That's all I got to say about it. It just upsets me to no end.
No, I understand.
Win the game. You got to win the game first, and then you want to discipline. All right. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Specter. Appreciate you calling back in. 334-321-1390. Again, phone lines are open for the next hour. We want to hear from you talking Auburn basketball. We'll get to some baseball stuff here in just a little bit as well. And the text box is open at 334-784-1067.
I agree with a lot. I do think, though, that this message is beyond Stephen Pearl and Keyshawn Hall. I think this is a locker room awakening of the mindset. I believe it was Clay that said that, yeah, this is no longer Stephen being the coordinator where he can walk into the locker room and goof off with the guys and people don't take him seriously once he becomes that next guy and all of a sudden the rules and the motto change for how he wants to run things. I think this is a bigger moment than Auburn and Stephen Pearl teaching quote-unquote Keyshawn Hall a lesson rather than a coach seeing how things go, hearing how things go, being around his team, doesn't like the trajectory of how things are going, whether it's a player or whether it's just the team, and realizing, like what you were saying, that a teaching point is bigger than a loss. And I think Auburn, especially in year one with Stephen Pearl, has enough grace to understand of, A, this is not the team that Stephen built. Yes, he had a part of it, but this was not the roster that he built for his strategy, how he wants to play. I mean, there's a lot of hate going on for Stephen Pearl right now, even saying that, I mean, there are people saying that he should be fired, shouldn't have this job, shouldn't have the opportunity.
Yeah.
When there's so many things that, again, you have to look at this being a year one situation with one returner from last year's team. There's so many different moving parts that Stephen has to understand and I think is understanding and is obviously willing enough to sacrifice his name a little bit because he knows that he's the one that's going to take the heat, as Specter and a couple of the other callers have said, for him taking that loss, for Stephen to say, okay, but I did what I felt like I needed to do as the head coach for the program, whether that's for this year or whether that's for next year, to let the locker room know that I'm the one that makes the decisions.
And that's really hard to hear in the midst of a four-game losing streak, right? If Auburn, and you see and hear this all the time, and how many coaches have we got on this program and ripped for disciplining, right? We talk about it in football so much. It's like, oh yeah, so-and-so safety at Ohio State didn't play the first half against, you know, against Miami of Ohio in the season opener because he missed curfew. But don't worry, he played that second half. And, oh, Penn State comes to town next week? Yeah, he's going to play, right? How many times do we hear those situations?
Yeah, give me your wrist.
Yeah, exactly. This was not that. This was a game that we've talked about Auburn desperately needed for several reasons. And we'll talk about that throughout the show and throughout this week as we prepare for our coverage of the game against Mississippi State on Wednesday. And I think for me, personally, just talking about Stephen Pearl as the head coach for a second, again, first-year head coach, by the way, of a prominent program that just made it to the Final Four.
And has one of those guys.
I think it speaks volumes. And I also understand, and there are several people texting in to our text box, 334-784-1067. There are a lot of rumors flying around right now on the internet about what people think happened or what they heard happened, right? And to those, we won't speak on that. But I do think this goes beyond Keyshawn Hall's defense,
right,
or goes beyond just an argument.
Or Keyshawn as a player, right? I think this is so much bigger than a coach and a one-person decision.
There's a lot. This was a heavy decision.
Yes.
Okay. This was not Steven getting mad and saying, I'm the boss. I'm the bad guy. You listen to me and I'm going to sit you and you can't do any. There's a lot that went into this decision because he knew, okay, nobody knew more than Steven Pearl sitting his best player against Arkansas was most likely going to lead to you losing the game.
Correct.
Okay. Nobody knew that more than him. And yet he still did it.
Knowing that, again, it was going to be his you-know-what that took the flack for it. It was his you-know-what that was going to take a blame. But he said that he felt like he needed to do what was right for his program, whether, again, that's for this year or even if you put this year to the side from the future standpoint,
yeah,
of, okay, this is his locker room. He is the head coach. He's going to do what he sees best fit, even if it puts him at a worse spot now. So that way there doesn't happen to be this same issue next year or the following year where the locker room or an individual controls that much more than what the head coach says he does.
Which is such a gamble. It's a risk.
Very much so.
Because, but it's
again,
one that a coach has to make.
And again, he knows, and it's very, very unfortunate because in today's day and age, you don't have the 3 to 4 to 5 years that you used to win, to develop, to recruit, because you're in such a contract era. Like that one, Clay. No, NIL era. Just a contract, pay-to-play era.
It's true.
On, man, we can go get whoever we want to be successful, and the only thing that you are judged off of is how many columns you have in the, or how many tallies you have in a win column.
Mm-hmm. And he was willing to give one of those up. Not directly, but kind of, to try and prove a point, to handle something clearly off the floor, because again, Steven said that in the postgame press conference. He said it to Andy Burcham on the postgame show over on Wings 94.3. He said, we have to handle our off-court stuff. We've got to put that behind us, guys. We have 6 games left. Our tournament lives are now in jeopardy because we can't handle our you-know-what off the floor. We've got to focus on basketball.
And before we get to the phone lines, this has already happened once this year. And look at what he's done since. Looking at Todd Pettiford.
Yeah.
You're one for one.
Heck, he's already benched some guys who just haven't touched the floor.
Yeah.
So, it's clearly not an easy team to manage. I think that is fair to say, and I think Steven Pearl deserves a little grace for that. 334-321-1390. We get back to the phone lines, and Randy, you're on the line, my friend. What's going on?
I think you meant Brandon, but that's okay.
Oh, Brandon, I'm sorry. Brandon, what's
no,
up?
No, it's good. Yeah, I think Steven Pearl, he's been put in a tough position because when you look at last year's team compared to what he got back with this year's team, the one key thing that is missing, aside from the talent gap, is leadership. I mean, that team was full of leaders.
Yeah.
And we don't have a leadership. I mean, one guy we had coming back was Todd Pettiford. He's not quite there from a leadership standpoint yet. You can just tell that. The other guy that was potentially coming back was Chad Baker-Mazzara, and he was a problem to the day he left. And people want to really slam on Steven Pearl. Bruce Pearl couldn't handle Chad Baker-Mazzara. And, I mean, he dealt with him the whole time he was there. So, I mean, we're missing that key component that good teams have, and that is leaders. And until that gets established, we're going to struggle the rest of the time. I hope they can get it turned around. There's talent there. They can do this with the talent they got. But as far as the leadership is missing, I don't know if it can be done.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Brandon. We appreciate you calling in and being a part of the show. And he's exactly right. He's exactly right, is what Brandon was saying. Because now, let's look at this on a larger scale, on a wider scale, right? Auburn losing to Arkansas, 88-75. You've now lost 4 games in a row after going on a four-game winning streak.
When a week and a half ago, we said this couldn't happen.
You've since given them all back. And you gave them all back to 4 good teams. And I understand that that's an argument for some people, and again,
sure,
more on that as we go. But our whole discussion, Christian, was Auburn had 4 big opportunities in a row against tournament teams, against teams who were going to be what, five seeds and above, four seeds and above between Tennessee, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Arkansas. I mean, you're looking at five
a
seeds and up.
A six seed at worst.
Yeah. Quality tournament teams, Sweet 16 type of teams.
Sure.
Maybe a couple of Elite Eight teams if they get hot. I still think Tennessee and Arkansas have a chance to do that. I think Alabama and Vanderbilt have a chance to be second weekend teams. It wasn't so much Auburn losing four games in a row. It was proving that they could beat a team like that, or two teams like that, or more. And they didn't do it. And not only did you not do it, you were somewhat competitive in those games.
And the,
somewhat.
And the ways that you were challenged was different in just about every single game, to where you had plenty of opportunities. But whether it was the leadership, whether it was the defense, whether it was just the mentality of, you know what, we're not going to let LeBaron Filon and Aiden Holloway score 14 straight in the second half to ice this thing out. We're not going to let Nate Amendt go to the free throw line 800 times in our contest. We're not going to let whoever or whatever just absolutely dominate just because, ah, darn, he got hot. It's really unfortunate that they always shoot well against Auburn. There's so much of a different mentality that goes into it than seeing the red L's when you look at the columns and look at Auburn now sitting at 14 and 11.
And unfortunately, as we're getting to break here, you're seeing the flaws of how this team is constructed. Because on paper, right, coming into the season, it was okay. There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of new players. But on paper, it has a chance to be good. We could see some of the flaws preseason. Not really a big on there, right? Don't have a true center. Don't have a Dylan Cardwell type of guy. But maybe you can overcome that with a Keyshawn Murphy and a Sway and maybe a Mecca Opurum if he gets in there, right? Right. You felt like those things could be overcome. We thought Auburn was going to be a fast team. We thought they were going to be a run-and-gun team. We thought they would be locked down defensively because Stephen Pearl is the defensive coordinator, taking over as the head coach. Right, all of those things on paper preseason, we saw those and still felt good about where it could go. We're now seeing some of the major issues on this roster with how it's constructed in the style of play of every player, the mentality of every player, the physicality of every player, the effort of every player. This team's just not constructed properly, and that's why you're seeing the struggles they're having right now. And even in some of their wins, again, the Texas win was a struggle. Right? The South Carolina win was a struggle. And the only wins you felt good about were Arkansas, where you just shot the lights out, your best shooting performance of the year. And the only good game in the last 2 months that you've put together start to finish and played as a basketball team was in the O-Dome when you went to Gainesville and beat the best team in the league in Florida. That's the only game, maybe of the year, outside of St. John's, that you just put it together and looked like a competent basketball team.
Yeah, those 60 minutes, the second half of Ole Miss and then Florida.
That's it. I mean, that's concerning. That shows you that the roster and how it's constructed, it's just not what it needs to be.
Which, again, injuries play a factor in that.
No doubt.
Which, again, is something that needs to continue
to... Yeah, you're running a 6.5-man rotation right now.
Right, to where that trickles down and domino effects into rebounding, into pace, into defense. Because, again, I think it is a legitimate conversation of coaches or coaches and players going, all right, I know we expect a lot of you defensively, but you are playing 35, 36 minutes, and you're our leading scorer, or you are our go-to guy on the offensive end of the floor.
Remember, Steven said that about Tahad Pettiford in the Bama game.
Yes.
When he gave up, what was it, 8 straight to Aiden or whatever it was. He admitted that. That Tahad was tired.
I think, and it hurts to say, but I really do think that with this team, it shows you the new mentality and style of college basketball translating a lot more to what we see in today's NBA. And I think that's a lot because of last year was the last year that you had all of the COVID seniors that were there 5 or 6 years
yeah.
that really still had that true college blood basketball mentality. And I just think you're seeing a little bit more of it. And Auburn is, yes, one of the extremes on that AAU style of basketball. When you have 8 assists a game, that shows you how much isolation you are playing on the offensive end of the floor. And nights like you did at Arkansas, where you had 2 players perform pretty well but couldn't really get help on the other side defensively or even help offensively, it just goes to show you that new style. And I think seeing the major swing from last year to this year is really a hard pill to swallow for college basketball fans and Auburn in general.
All right, we got to get to our final break here in hour number 1. We'll do so, come back, wrap it up quickly, get into hour number 2. We'll talk more basketball, baseball, and beyond here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number 1 here on ESPN 106.7. We got about a minute or so before we take our top of the hour break, and we got the Olympics on in the studio. So if Chris Cordy's out there, just close your ears. It's still live right now in Milan, right? They're competing pretty much early morning and into the late afternoon. We're watching mono bobsledding, which is just solo bobsled. It's awesome, and we're on the verge of having 2 Americans take home gold and silver. Yeah, that German got smoked. Yep.
No.
Oh, she took it from the second American. So we had it's the females as well. We had, that was it. She was the last one to go, I think.
I think that's right. So.
Wow. So we had an American who, the third to last girl to go, took first place. Then another American went to take her first place.
Who was the favorite?
And then this German just went, who split both of them. So it's going to be an American with gold, German with silver, and then an American with bronze.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Alana Myers-Taylor, her first career Olympic gold medal after 3 silvers and 2 bronzes.
Wow. And the way she's celebrating right now with her kids is really, really cool. So the Americans get 2 more medals in solo bobsled. That's pretty awesome. Dude, they're hauling too. They're getting like 80 miles an hour in a massive bobsled. That's so cool. I don't know what the updated medal count is. I know America was trailing going into the day, but I don't care if you like the Olympics or not. I think it's cool. So,
feet first going 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, skeleton's even crazier. That's the one where they're going head first. Yeah. That stuff's wild. But, all right, we're out of time in hour number 1. Stick around, though. We got more basketball and baseball talk coming up in hour number 2.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number 2 during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on, again, just a gorgeous day here in the Auburn and Opelika area. Christian tried to run to the golf course in between hour 1 and hour 2, but I slashed his tire, so he couldn't go. And so,
he made me putt in the cul-de-sac.
I mean, sorry.
Gosh.
All greens can't be flat and soft. If you can't putt in the parking lot, you won't be able to putt.
Yeah,
on the
but
green.
I mean, like this right here, it's almost asphalt. Cart path. So I mean, this is where you're used to playing out of. I'm at least used to seeing something green out
there.
Brother,
give me an 8-iron in that parking lot, and I will flush it. Are you kidding me? That I hit a 300-yard drive the other day, but 75 yards of it was bouncing down the cart path. So it all counts the same.
And then 100 yards was right.
Yes. And so if you add the
total distance that the cart went to go get the
golf
ball.
If you add, you know, x squared plus or a squared plus b squared equals c squared, a squared being down the fairway, b squared being distance to the right equals c squared, you combine them, that's the total yardage of my drive.
And wait till he tell you that it was a par 3 too.
True, but it was into the wind. Look, I was just playing at Pebble
this
weekend.
You're playing 7 at Pebble.
Yeah, where I had to hit a 3 wood into a 120 yard par 3 because the winds were so bad. Did you see the flag sticks yesterday?
They had to get new ones.
Well, they brought in like industrial flag sticks, which were like twice the size, and the one on 18 was still bending over sideways.
There were a couple dudes that would have holed out if it was the regular size.
Yeah.
Pins, but wild. What a tournament it was. We didn't really talk. I'm surprised you didn't come on here and talk about Scotty. Almost did it.
He really
nerfing Scotty so much to where they told him he's only allowed to play 3 good rounds of golf every single weekend, and the Thursday round just has to be even par, and
he's just
still
making
almost
it fair on
it.
Everybody else. I mean, he's really just giving everyone else a chance.
And his putter is alive.
God, he can hit putts inside 10 feet, which is cool.
Who was the guy, the conversation, and again, we'll set up the hour here in just a second, but talking about it was like, if Scotty plays great and putts really well, nobody else has a chance. If Scotty hits his irons the way that he usually does and can't putt, then other people have a chance.
Right.
And then if he doesn't do well, he still places in the top 10. What is that, 18 straight?
18 straight top 10s now for Scotty Scheffler. And people don't understand how ridiculous that is, but that dude's making money right now, and he is playing some of the best golf we've ever seen. So, that was fun. Big golf tournaments coming up over the next several weeks on our way to the Masters. We are 2 weeks. No, sorry, 2 months. 2 months away from the Masters. I believe it is 2 months from this past weekend, I believe.
I think you're right, yeah.
Because it's mid-April.
Man.
That April, what is that? That Saturday's the 11th, so that would be, what, the 9th through the 12th or whatever that is?
Something like that.
It's going to be awesome. Cannot wait. But, yes, happy Monday. Hour number 2 underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line. If you missed any of the first hour, we talked all things basketball. Had a ton of callers and texters, people reacting to Auburn dropping their game against Arkansas on Saturday by 13. Now a 4-game losing streak for Stephen Pearl and the Tigers. So all of that recap was in hour number 1. If you missed it, be sure to go back and catch up with the podcast version of the show. You can find it in several ways. You can find it on any of your podcasting platforms. You can find it in our app by downloading the Radio Alabama app, or you can find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number 2, we're going to talk other big games in college basketball from this weekend, games in the SEC, games in the top 25, may dive into the current SEC standings. Were people right about Texas A&M? Was Joe Lunardi right about Texas A&M not really buying stock too early as they fall to Vanderbilt over the weekend? Also, a little bit of a mini segment on Auburn baseball, taking down and sweeping Youngstown State, talking about the offense doing enough to get wins in games 1 and 2. In game 3, they finally open up the floodgates. But, man, the guys on the mound were historic, and we will talk about those numbers here in just a little bit before we have our phone call with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network as he joins us every single Monday at 3:30. We'll talk Auburn baseball. We'll talk Auburn basketball. We'll talk Auburn softball. We'll talk Auburn golf. Anything Auburn-related, Mr. Hillman is going to be able to fill us in, fill you in with just about everything in terms of Auburn athletics. And, again, a reminder for all of the baseball fanatics out there, Tuesdays is our main Auburn baseball segment. We will be able to continue a really fun conversation. Last week, we had Coach Butch Thompson. Are we confirmed for tomorrow? We'll have to just maybe let you know.
It's a player. I can tell you that.
Well, there we go.
We are working on logistics. If it's confirmed of the player that I was told, it's a player who got his first start for Auburn and absolutely shoved for Auburn. So,
and funny enough, that still only narrows it down a little bit because of how well Auburn pitched on the mound.
Exactly.
This past weekend.
Yes.
So, again, we'll talk Auburn baseball here coming up a little bit, but a little bit more generically. We'll dive into a little bit more of the analytics and the numbers coming up tomorrow. But a really fun conversation we plan on having here to start hour number two, working our way to Jacob Hillman and wrapping up the show here in hour number two of the Monday edition of On the Line. So the phone lines are open for the first 30 minutes if you would like to be a part of the conversation at 334-321-1390. The text box always open as well. It's been very, very active. Both have been very active today, and we love it when it's that way. The text box is 334-784-1067.
College basketball games this weekend outside of Auburn and Arkansas. There were a lot of good ones. The good ones on paper, good ones in the scoring column as well.
We made it. Talking outside of Auburn,
yes.
Arkansas.
Took us an hour, but we got there. An hour and 9 minutes, technically. But, yeah, some games on paper that could have been interesting, but just weren't. UCLA had no business playing with Michigan. I'm bringing up Kansas State and Houston, not because of the results, 78-64, but did you see what happened with Kansas State basketball this weekend?
I did. They said bye-bye.
Jerome Tang is out. Gone. They fired him. A guy that's been at Kansas State for quite some time, but they finally pulled the plug. 10-15 on the season are the Kansas State Wildcats. 1-11 in Big 12 play. And the athletic director yesterday for Kansas State said this was a combination, a multitude of things. But his comments just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was last week or so, they said that was the final straw. Did you see what he had to say in a press conference?
I did not.
After one of their losses, Kansas State, their former head coach, stood up to the podium. And again, it was after some loss. I forget which one it was. Some blowout loss. Maybe the Cincinnati game or the Iowa State game. I don't know. Anyway, Jerome Tang stepped up to the podium and said, basically said that was embarrassing. Our team did not deserve to wear the uniform.
I did see
and
this.
Said there's a lot of them in that locker room that will not be wearing it next year. That's what he said. And Pete Thamel reported yesterday that they are firing him for cause. Okay, his contract, they would owe him almost $19 million. They said the basis for the cause of firing is language in his contract that references any activity that brings public disrepute. Is that right? I don't know if that's the word or not. Embarrassment and ridicule to the Kansas State Athletics Department. And his comments a couple of weeks ago is what they're using as his firing for cause. But as we expected, Jerome Tang is planning on fighting that because he's not just going to lay down and die and walk away from $19 million.
Sure.
Tang told ESPN, quote, "I am deeply disappointed with the university's decision and strongly disagree with the characterization of my termination. I have always acted with integrity and faithfully fulfilled my responsibilities as head coach." So, we've got ourselves another legal battle on our hands.
Let's
this
go.
Time, it's a school and a coach for a possible wrong firing. A wrongful firing. But yeah, he literally said that performance was embarrassing. There are guys in that locker room that don't deserve to wear the uniform, and there will be some guys in that locker room that do not wear it next year. So that on
it's
top
wild.
Of them being 1-11 in Big 12 play, Kansas State said, okay, we've seen enough. So
thanks so much. And for that reason, you're out.
You're
not,
out.
Not
yes.
We're out. You're out.
You're out.
Crazy to see how... Again, Kansas State was one of the more active teams in the transfer portal this past year. And again, you have one of the best point guards in the country who you got to leave the NBA draft and PJ Haggerty to go and play for the Wildcats.
He's so good.
All
dude.
For them to be 1-11 in Big 12 play.
I wonder if he ends up transferring again or if he just goes to the draft and goes where he goes and tries to figure it out. I don't know.
It hurts to say it. And again, this goes back to the conversation that we had in terms of Auburn, man. I mean, if you're PJ Haggerty, you've done all you can do in the solo side of basketball to where the NBA isn't going to look at anything else.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, they know what he is. He
right.
is what he is. Yeah, I agree.
And what is – we need you to go and be a better teammate. We need you to go and pass better. Like,
yeah, that's what the NBA is known for. Is,
exactly.
Is team
that's
play.
What I'm saying. Instead, yeah. it's, oh, okay, you can put the ball in the hole. That's all you need to do.
Dude, what are we doing? We haven't even talked about NBA All-Star Weekend. It was so awesome.
To be fair,
I didn't watch a single minute of it.
To be fair, the new format on Sunday was actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, I don't care. I didn't watch it. But it wasn't even worth my time to go figure out what channel it was.
But everything else, that was one of the worst. I didn't watch the dunk contest, but
oh, I saw the clips of it. Now, I don't even know. Was it Jackson Hayes that is getting just roasted on the internet?
Yeah, for doing a tomahawk.
And he had to stutter step because he lost his timing.
Yeah. And then if you just dance after you dunk, that's enough.
I heard he got a 47 on that. Is that right? 47 out of 50?
Something like that.
That's horrific. I don't know.
Meanwhile, Mac McClung, who just got cut from his NBA team, he posted the dunks that he would have done, and every single one of them is cooler than what
Which, credit showing. To him, I did actually see an interview with him where he said, yeah, while dunking is cool, he said, I'm trying to become a better basketball player so I can play in the NBA. Because, yeah, he just got cut, which kind of stinks. But, no, I'm not talking about the NBA All-Star Weekend. Because when I was growing up, man, that was appointment viewing. That was must-see. Steve Nash or Chris Paul, must-see TV.
Yeah, I mean, you're at the point now to where it's not even All-Star Saturday night. It's All-Star Saturday brunch. Like, they showed that Damian Lillard won it at like 1:30 in the afternoon, and I was like, I didn't even know it was All-Star Weekend.
This will tell you how much I don't know about it right now. Where was it? Where was All-Star Weekend?
Yeah, no idea.
That used to be a big deal. It used to be a big deal across all sports.
Oh,
right?
It was in Los Angeles. It was at the Clippers place because, again, I watched – 3 rounds of the Sunday games, which, again, for the format-wise,
they split, do Rising Stars and all that?
They did
no?
do that all on Saturday and stuff. But for Sunday, they split it up into 2 world teams and 2 U.S. teams, and they each play a 12-minute quarter. And you basically – it was almost like a round robin until you competed for the championship. Mm. But the United States beat the world in both games, so the United States played – the Stars played the Stripes. In like the
I saw
final.
Kawhi went off.
Kawhi, yeah, again, that's why I knew it was there because he had 31 in 12 minutes of play. Okay. But Wembanyama was pissed at everybody because he was the only one legitimately trying. Which
didn't he cry?
I don't know if it was crying, but was legitimately trying. And it, like, understandably so, because his response was like, dude, I'm playing for my country.
Yeah.
And so
again, I didn't watch it. I don't care enough anymore. When I was growing up, it was a big deal. It really was. We used to go out and watch it at B-dubs and go, and it would just be awesome. But now it just doesn't mean anything. Anyway, college basketball stuff. Clemson and Duke. The ACC continues to be terrible. Clemson had no business being in that game with Duke. They lost it. Iowa State rolls over Kansas in a top 10 matchup. On paper, it was good. On paper, it was good. But Iowa State, they needed that win. Iowa State desperately needed that. They had slipped up just a hair. Christian did the Cyclones. They had lost to Kansas already. They lost to Cincinnati. They lost to TCU. They needed a big win, and they got it over the Jayhawks, who are still a very good team.
Who would have thought that some of the most dramatics coming from college basketball – this past weekend was St. John's and Providence. Did you see everything that went down on that side of things?
Yeah, they gave out all their suspensions today.
Holy
like 3
cow.
And 4 game suspensions for is that even considered a brawl anymore? That was crazy. And why all of a sudden in basketball, not even college basketball, this has been in the NBA too. This is the most fights I've ever seen in basketball.
Trying to bring it back, baby.
I mean, I don't know. Bad Boy Pistons are proud for the ones that are still kicking, you know? Like, they're like, yeah, this is awesome, man.
Yeah.
Oh, back in our day, we used to do that on a Tuesday and nobody even saw it, right? But why does this seem like the most fights we've ever seen in basketball? And it's like they're feeding off of one another.
It's like, almost like one got attention from it and was like,
well, that's kinda, that was kind of cool. Yeah.
That dude got a lot of followers.
Yeah. My Santa Clara... My Santa Clara Broncos. They tried really hard.
You had to click on that name to remember the mascot, didn't you?
Yeah. I was watching them Saturday night when I was doing after the game with Jack. When I was watching or doing the game or doing after the game with Jack, we were watching Santa Clara. I did forget they were the Broncos. Their gym is sweet.
It is.
Their gym is so cool. I forget the name of it, but it was awesome. And they had every chance to beat Gonzaga, and they just couldn't do it. Florida takes down Kentucky 92-83. I don't know what to think about Kentucky. Florida's still good. I don't know what to think about Kentucky. I really don't. I don't know. They're competitive, I guess. They're just confusing, and I can't keep track of them. I don't know what to
think. Xavion Lee is finally playing good. Had 22 points in that contest. Had a good game against South Carolina again, and again, Vanderbilt and Texas A&M, kind of the final one we'll get to before we head to break. 82-69, the Commodores at home moved to 21-4, 8-4 in SEC play. And how funny is it that A&M people demanded their respect early on, and now you're starting to see why Joe Lunardi didn't continue to move them up with their wins.
So classic question here, does an 82-69 win for Vanderbilt over Texas A&M say more about Vandy and how good they are, or maybe how average Texas A&M is?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be completely honest with you. I'd love to see out. That.
What a politician answer.
Man. Yeah.
You get my vote. No, I'm just kidding. I agree. I totally agree.
I would love to see that game played at Texas A&M or a neutral site. But yeah. I think that goes to show you how good defensively Vanderbilt can be and to show you how lackluster the buckyball offensive side of the floor can be when you go 8 of 29 from deep.
When it's not on, it's not on.
And 5 of 10 from the free throw line. Holy cow.
They just don't get there. Just don't get there. So don't worry, Texas A&M has lost 4 games in a row too. So if you're an Auburn fan and upset about it, call your A&M buddy and let them know they're in the exact same boat as you. So, okay, let's take a break. We're going to come back.
Just don't call them a millisecond too late. Otherwise,
don't do it.
It won't count.
It won't count. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we got somebody on the phone line. So let's talk a little bit of Auburn baseball. We'll talk about opening weekend next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line and got about 5 or so minutes before we need to take our bottom of the hour break. We got Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network coming up, but we got Jack Cutton on the phone who wants to talk a little Auburn baseball opening weekend, my friend.
Hey, buddy.
It went the Tigers' way, but the first two games a little sketchy out there at Plainsman Park, huh?
Well,
did we lose him? That boy called in 8 minutes ago, and we throw it to him, and he ain't even there. That's crazy. Did he hang up?
Man.
Gosh. Can the show. Just take a second.
Jack, we're going to sit here in silence until you call back.
Did he call back?
Just put him on. We know it's
him. It's him. Yeah, just put him on hold. Jack, are you there, my friend?
Hey, guys.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Hey,
hey, buddy.
We've had so many phone problems today, Jack. I'm blaming you on this one. Why? Because I can. But happy Monday, sir. How are you?
What are you blaming me for? I was the one that was talking for about 5 seconds here about this baseball team, and then all of a sudden I hear beep, beep, beep on the other end.
Because you hit the beep, beep, beep button. That's what it sounds like to me. Let's start over. Baseball was fun this weekend, right? Auburn gets started with a 3-0 record, 3-0 record. But first two games were a little sketchy, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, I got to say, for starters, I think that we learned a lot about this Auburn team from how they responded in Game 3. I was, just like anybody, I was pretty shocked with how the bats didn't wake up for those first two games, just because, you know, all off season, we've seen this team compete at a high level at the plate. Guys like some of these transfers that came in, like a Logan Gregorio or a Todd Clay, they had tough weekends, and I don't expect that trend to hang around, I guess, is what I mean. I thought the entire lineup responded well. Of course, Mason McCrane, fit in well in that Game 3 mold. You had a lot of guys like Bristol Carter, who didn't start in Game 1, come back and put up some pretty productive at-bats there in the last two games. Always good to have some adversity there early in the season, and I think that's what Auburn got. But, you look at the other side of the baseball, and you look at this pitching performance that the staff put together. We thought the bats were going to be the strength of this team. Through one weekend, looks like the arms are the strength.
Well, Jack, you feel like, again, that's almost a little bit of a topic of conversation early on in this year. In every single baseball season, is the mound and the arms have a little bit of an advantage as you work your way into the young season. And, you give so much credit to Youngstown State as well. Jacob and I talked about it on Friday before the series got started is their three starters were redshirt senior, and senior. And so they put their best arms on the mound that they knew weren't going to have their eyes too big for the moment. And so, as you mentioned, a little bit of adversity, but a really nice job for this Auburn team bouncing back. And then you mentioned it, Auburn's historic start on the mound for this Auburn Tigers team. 43 strikeouts on opening weekend. It's the most in a three-game series since 1992. And you feel like this has to build a whole lot of confidence as you work your way to Cincinnati tomorrow.
Absolutely. And I mean, I was even talking about this some with you guys, but you know, you look at how many staffs Auburn has had in the past that have surpassed the strikeout number with. I mean, you got to remember 2017, Keegan Thompson and Casey Mize were on the same staff that year. And you're telling me that they didn't have as many strikeouts together in a series like that. You also had Tanner Burns and Casey Mize on that same staff. Yeah. When you go back to 2010, guys like Austin Hubbard, you know, just all sorts of pitchers like that that have come in and haven't put together that strikeout performance, it says a lot. You know, I think because I know we got to get going here, but the ending thought that I would have about the arms is that I think Auburn has had that A-plus, A-level guy the last few years, and maybe they're looking for a starter or two. I think this year they've got anywhere from 4 to 6 guys that are probably A-minus, B-plus level and can go deep into games. That's something different than what Auburn's had in the past. It's usually been we've got our A-plus reliever and then we got a bunch of really good relievers we can throw out there. I think this Auburn team is the deepest in terms of starters that they've had in a long time. They just got to figure out who goes where.
And, Jack, I mean, what is your thoughts, again, on the way out of here of Butch Thompson's expectation of 65% strikes or more? When you look at the MLB average, it's anywhere from 60 to 65, sits right around that 62, 63% rate. I mean, whether this is something that Auburn can achieve throughout the season is something that we will continue to figure out, but you almost love that as a pitching coach, setting that goal so high because, man, you feel like when Auburn throws strikes, that hasn't been any sort of issue over the past couple of years. It's been those free passes that turn into those big innings.
Yeah, exactly, and it even goes back to what Butch said about the 1.8 runs scored every time a leadoff man gets on. I mean, he was talking about the lineup at that point, but you got to look at that from a pitcher standpoint too. I mean, if you're giving up almost 2 runs per inning every time the leadoff man gets on, you know, what does that tell you about the leadoff man walking? I mean, You've got to put it in the zone early and often, and I think that they're taking that approach to pitching. They have for the past 2 years, but 70% strikes on the weekend by pitchers, that's filling up the zone. You know, I'm okay if you get beat by a pitch that, you know, is a 3-2 meatball that you just have to – I'm okay with that because More often than not, you're going to get hit into an out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Jack, we appreciate it, my friend. Jack Cutting on the phone lines with us, voice of Auburn High softball. He'll be in the booth with me for Auburn High baseball as well, coming up in a little less than 2 weeks. So we appreciate you, my friend, calling in. And we'll talk to you more soon when it comes to more baseball. We'll also talk more baseball coming up tomorrow on the show as well. And we'll talk more baseball coming up next with our man Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. We'll talk to him about baseball, basketball, softball, golf, tennis,
Olympics,
softball, Olympics, anything. If there's an Auburn tie, we're going to talk to baseball? Jacob Hillman. I said baseball.
Softball?
I said softball.
Basketball? I know. I
don't know.
Maybe golf? Maybe golf?
Maybe Auburn?
Sure.
Who are we having on?
Guess you got to find out.
In case you weren't listening the 3 times we said it, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. He joins us coming up next
to talk softball.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We're excited to get to the phone lines for our first scheduled guest of the day, a guy that's been with us for a long time here on the show. He's with us every Monday at 3:30. It is Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. My man, I can't believe you stepped off a whole 14 into the woods to talk to us on this Monday. We appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, it's a little backed up out here on the golf course, but no, it's always a pleasure to join you guys on the line.
Well, when you have 8 strokes per hole, you're the reason it's backed up, Jacob.
Well, you know, the game's going to have to – it's going to have to really clean itself up before we get to summertime when I'm really out there playing if I want to compete with some of the best.
Ah, yeah, I don't think I've seen that invite. But I'll be looking at my phone closely when the spring sports are done, because that is where a lot of the focus is. Of course, winter sports in the home stretch, spring sports underway. And my goodness, do we have a lot to talk about with you over the next 15 or so minutes. And we'll start with the winter sports and talk about men's basketball, who, of course, took their fourth loss of the season, went on the road to Arkansas and dropped it by 13. Your thoughts on what happened to Stephen Pearl's squad in Fayetteville without Keyshawn Hall?
Yeah, it was certainly the first half, a game where you got no offensive production outside of Todd Pettiford and Keyshawn Murphy. Now, both of those guys played lights out, and that was a huge positive to take away from that game, is that Pettiford and Murphy are both seemingly coming into their own and on a bit of a hot streak and finding some consistency. I really like what I've seen from Tahad Pettiford since that Alabama game. And he's continued to provide the scoring ability. He's not turning the ball over, and he's really facilitating as well. And then Keyshawn Murphy, of course, he's finding a rhythm inside the paint of how he's going to score on the interior. But the defense is where things obviously struggled a little bit, and Arkansas is the credit for most of that. Darius Acuff Jr. and Billy Richmond III were both absolutely lights out. Richmond III with a career high. Acuff Jr. matched his career high. It was just tough to stop those guys from Richmond getting downhill. He also forced several turnovers, and then Acuff Jr. was just a dynamite from three-point range. It was difficult for this team to find that balance of stopping both of those guys, and that was something that I know Coach Pearl and the staff was frustrated about, because this offense continued to show its elite level. While it was just the Tahad Pettiford and Keyshawn Murphy show for about 30 minutes of this game, the last 11 minutes, Auburn showed a ton of fight, and it was something that we've seen throughout this year. This team doesn't give up. It will fight to the bitter end. And guys like Elijah Freeman and Kevin Overton and Sebastian Williams Adams started to find a little bit of something late in that game. It was just too little too late when the Tigers started to make that little run in the second half.
And so, Jacob, with six games left, you still have a couple of quad one opportunities, but you feel like this has been the part of the schedule that Auburn fans, and I'm sure that everybody at Auburn, has been looking forward to, just from the opportunities that lie to rack up and stack up a couple of really nice wins as you head down the stretch to really solidify yourself into the NCAA tournament. What do you want to see from this Auburn team, whether that be something specific as you make your way to Starkville here in the midweek, or just something over the next six games that really want to really build your confidence as this team makes a push for late March?
Yeah, when you look into the rest of the schedule that Auburn has in front of it, there's two games in particular that you look at as major challenges for the Tigers. That's a Saturday hosting Kentucky, and then the regular season finale going to Alabama. Outside of that, there are games that are really going to be looked at as must wins as far as NCAA tournament consideration is concerned. Going to Mississippi State, going to Oklahoma, hosting Ole Miss and LSU, those games are going to be critical in winning to solidify yourself in the field in the NCAA tournament. And that's part of, I know there's a little bit of uneasiness among the fan base of making the tournament. Right now, Auburn is well above the bubble currently as it stands. And I understand with the way the four-game losing streak has gone, that there's a right to be concerned. But as far as NCAA tournament consideration, Auburn is solidly in the bracket matrix. Auburn's an 8 seed still. So as long as Auburn's able to handle business with some of those games that I just mentioned, then the Tigers are going to be fine when it gets to Selection Sunday. Now, as far as, all right, what do I want to see out of Auburn? It's looking good in those games. And obviously, if you can win one of those two games against Kentucky or Alabama, then you're feeling even better. So I just think that for this team to go to Starkville or go to Norman or even against Ole Miss or LSU at home to win those games in convincing fashion and the defense to step up, that would be where my attention turns to going forward.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. There's a lot to get to. Again, Auburn basketball will be in action again on Wednesday on the road at Mississippi State before they return home this weekend for a big matchup, a big opportunity against Kentucky inside of Neville Arena. But we flip to the spring sports where Auburn baseball opens up with a three-game sweep of Youngstown State. Had to do it in a doubleheader because of the weather yesterday. But what'd you see from the Tigers at Plainsman Park this weekend?
A lot of strikeouts, that's for sure. 43 strikeouts on the weekend through three games. It was just an incredible just weekend for Jake Marciano, Jackson Sanders, Alex Petrovic, the new starting rotation for this ball club, and they really showed out. Of course, the offense took a few games to get going, so it was critical for those guys to have the performances that they did. And you even go back to game one, Garrett Brewer just slamming the door on the Penguins. This team, like I said, it took a minute for the offense to get rolling, and it really did in game three of that series, scoring 17 runs. But the pitching was really the star of the weekend. And it was good to see a guy like Chase Frelick, who's gotten so much preseason praise and All-American status and All-SEC status, for him to come out, hit .500, he looks like a guy that's primed for maybe not a breakout, because we know how good he is, and he showed that last year, but to build on that. And of course, you have the injury to Chris Rembert that's hopefully not going to be too big of an issue, and hopefully he's back and ready for SEC play. But that's an opportunity for a lot of young guys to step up and in the lineup and get their cuts before SEC action is underway.
And Jacob, I guess the same type of question that I asked you for basketball is, you're still very young in this season for baseball, so I guess still a little bit different, but what do you want to see from this Auburn team? One weekend in, still a lot of things that they're going to clean up, but again, you answer the call in a lot of ways that you didn't necessarily expect, or you still had a couple of question marks. You now have a couple of really good opportunities before you go to Arlington to really polish some things up before SEC play hits. What are some of the things you're wanting to see this Auburn baseball team highlight?
Yeah, it's a huge week ahead for this team with Cincinnati coming to town tomorrow night, and then you face a tough slate in Arlington and Kansas State, Florida State, and Louisville. So that's not even to mention the Nebraska series in a couple of weekends. But this team is going to have a ton of opportunities against tough competition, against postseason caliber teams, to show what it's made of. And again, I mentioned the Chris Rembert injury, and doing it without him is going to make that task more difficult and allow, like I said, some of these younger guys that might not have expected to get action this early to get in there and show what they're made of. So I'm pumped to see what this team is able to do in Arlington this weekend. It's going to be a moment. We've seen it in the past where these early season not tournaments, but you know, neutral site series have been the turning point for a team, and that's been the case for Auburn in several years. And I think that's the idea with it this year, is to get away from home and go out and face tough competition and really solidify what you're made of and what needs to be improved before you get to SEC play.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on ESPN 106.7, and we're talking about what's going on at Plainsman Park, also at Jane B. Moore Field, as the Tigers move to 9-2 in their young season. Hillman, I know there was a little bit of dramatics that happened over the weekend. Walk us through everything that went down. We know there was a little bit of party afterwards, but some of the details that went down at Jane B. Moore Field this past weekend.
Well, it was strikeouts at Plainsman Park, and it was home runs at J&B Moore Field. 13 home runs hit by the Tigers over the course of the weekend, and every game resulted in it was a five-inning run rule for Auburn. So the Tigers handled business. Of course, the Sunday game had to be canceled due to the weather that we saw come through the Auburn area yesterday. But I assume you're referring to the protest on Friday night.
Yes.
That caused a 20-minute delay. And yeah, that was just a wild situation, and you never know what to expect when you head out to the ballpark, whether, like I said, that's Plainsman Park or J&B Moore Field. And in that situation, it was just a mix-up of lineup cards where something was not listed as it should have been, and the Auburn coaching staff called it out, and the game was put under protest by the opposing coaching staff.
Jeez.
And that is where the umpires had to sort it out with the NCAA, and then we moved on from there. But it was definitely a first for me to be dealing with that situation, and quite a bit confusing as well. Again, Auburn got the win in that game, and the home run hitting is something that was not what we saw in opening weekend in Clearwater from this team. So it was good to see this team kind of continue the offensive rhythm and the momentum that it had, but do it in a different way over the course of this weekend.
Well, Hillman, you just had to channel your previous high school broadcasting days, where there are always certain things and delays and changes in times, to where you just had to kill time and kill clock. I mean, you did that in your high school broadcasting days, so I'm sure you were fine.
Well, doing that, and you know, with little communication of really knowing what was going on, that yes, it was easy to go back and kind of think about those moments and understand, all right, this, we just got to get through this and we'll figure out what it was after the fact. And that was the case. But again, just a huge weekend for Auburn softball. And it was good to see some crowds out there, especially with the weather. It was beautiful this entire weekend until Sunday, obviously. So a big opportunity ahead for the Tigers going to the Marionette Classic.
Jacob, before we move on and let you kind of show some love to all the other sports, what, and you may have said it and I missed it, if so, I apologize. What was the official ruling of all of that chaos and controversy? You said it was protested and the NCAA had to get involved. What was the final ruling of how all that went down?
So Campbell had his designated player. It was one of their pitchers, and she was hitting at the lineup, and they were switching them in and out. And you're allowed to do that a couple of times in a game, but the third time it happened is when our coaching staff noticed it and brought it to the umpire's attention. And ultimately, that's what the NCAA ruled, was that the lineup card was not set up in the way that Campbell thought it was, and they were not able to sub in and out with the pitcher and designated player going forward.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's the intricacies of college softball.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. Softball, again, much different in some of those rules in comparison to baseball. So interesting there, but glad Auburn softball was able to stack some wins. And other teams and other players are stacking wins around AU athletics as well, my man.
Well, yeah, I'm going to start with Auburn men's golf, because Jackson Coyvin, he became Auburn's all-time wins leader by taking the individual victory at the Gator Invitational this past week, and the Tigers finished second as a team. Just, you know, when you go to a visiting, when you visit a team on their home course, it's always going to be tough to win that one. But you could see where Florida separated themselves and Auburn separated themselves from third place and beyond. And good for Jackson Coyvin to put his name at top of Auburn men's golf history for years to come, that I would imagine. But looking ahead to the upcoming week, Auburn baseball will host Cincinnati tomorrow. That game is set for 6 o'clock Central, 5:45 airtime on Wings 94.3 FM. Brad Law, Jason Caldwell will have the call. Andy Burchard will be in Starkville with Coach Randall Dickey, getting ready to call the game on Wednesday against the Bulldogs. That game is set for 8 o'clock tip-off and a 7:30 airtime on Wings 94.3 FM. And then on Thursday, Tiger Talk will be in studio, also on Wings 94.3 FM, beginning at 6. We'll talk things over with a ton of coaches with so much going on, including Stephen Pearl, Larry Vickers, and Butch Thompson. So a big episode of Tiger Talk coming up on Thursday at 6. Softball, again, Marionette Classic, that's a lot of action this weekend for the Tigers. And against some top-ranked Oregon, UCLA, Washington are all opponents for this weekend, and all are ranked in the top 25, so a huge test for Coach Chris and Kate Malvo. And then Auburn baseball will be in Arlington to face off against Kansas State, against Florida State, and against Louisville in some big matchups there. And then Auburn basketball, the Outlive game on Saturday at 7:30 Central against Kentucky. I'll join Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey on the call for that one, airtime at 7 o'clock and with a tip-off of 7:30 on Wings 94.3 FM. And again, there's so much going on. Make sure you follow at AU Sports Network for all the broadcast details, because with some of the overlap, some baseball games are going right here to ESPN 106.7, and women's basketball is on Sunday against Georgia at home. You're going to make sure you catch that for the weekend. So make sure you follow us at AU Sports Network.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us every Monday, my friend. We appreciate you. Get back out there. You're holding up the pace out there on 15. So get out there, hit them well, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
I appreciate it, guys. Talk to you guys then.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here joining us as he does every single Monday, 3:30 on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a good show today, man. We appreciate everybody tuning in, whether it was for 1 minute, 1 segment, 1 hour, the whole thing. Doesn't matter to us. We're just glad that you're here. Glad that you're spending your President's Day with us, however you're tuned in, whether it's on the radio dial on 106.7, on our station website at ESPNAU.com, or the Radio Alabama app. And, again, we appreciate you being with us. Had a lot to talk about today. Hour number one was full of basketball talk. A lot of your reactions and things from basketball. A lot of phone calls, a lot of text messages. And we'll dive even deeper tomorrow into some more basketball things about the game in particular, where Auburn goes from here, right? Are they really in danger of missing the NCAA tournament? We'll talk about that tomorrow. And then we had some other college basketball conversations today. Talked baseball today and just got off the phone with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. So all of that in a very busy Monday show. And again, if you missed any of it or any of our other shows, you can go back and listen at ESPNAU.com.
It's one of the few really good things about having frustrating weekends like you had, or the loser Mondays that we call them, is you feel like it brings out the activity in the on-the-line backers, if you will, for those that, again, have joined us here for a long time. You got to speak to our president to claim that title, but
yeah, he has to induct you into that.
But again, having the activity and the response on the phone lines and the text box in there, again, we absolutely love that, and that's why we have strategic shows to where we don't schedule guests right away or at certain aspects, because we love the engagement. We love being able to dive into some really fun conversations. And again, you saw a lot of that in hour number one, where you had three differing opinions from three straight callers.
Yeah.
And goes to show you the perspective of so many different fans in this fan base. And we wouldn't run it any other way, because it goes to show you the different ways that this can be, I guess, not solved, but the way that it can be concerned about. And mm-hmm. I guess when you work on the court side of things, it does go to show you the concerns, because there's not that one clear thing that needs to change.
Yeah, so tomorrow we'll again talk more basketball. We're also going to have baseball, a lot of baseball conversation, diving into opening weekend from Auburn, as the pitchers were awesome, and we're going to have one of those pitchers on the show tomorrow, getting final confirmation, so don't want to spoil that just yet and put the cart before the horse. But one of the guys who got his first start at Auburn this weekend, who had a lot of strikeouts, is planning on joining us tomorrow on the show, so we'll talk to him. Plus, we'll talk about Auburn baseball and get to preview a little bit their midweek game against the Bearcats of Cincinnati. You're going to have to get me to not
wear, I was about to say,
UT.
You still don't know which. Yeah.
You don't know what shirt I'm wearing tomorrow.
What hoodie you're wearing.
Yeah. Will it be an Auburn hoodie, an Auburn pullover, or my Cincinnati sweatshirt?
Well, if you see Jacob by himself, you'll know the answer.
So we'll talk about that tomorrow. And Auburn is doing their midweek specials again at Plainsman Park. Don't know if you saw this, to where they're doing $5 draft beer and $2.50 hot dogs.
Gosh, dang it.
Reason I bring that up, Troy just posted they're doing something for Friday nights at Riddle Pace Field. Home games on Friday nights at Troy, $3 hot dogs, $2 draft beers.
Holy cow.
So if you're looking,
maybe that's the way to get the fan, to get the crowd just losing its mind.
So if you want to go see a Troy baseball game on a Friday night, $3 hot dog, but $2 beer, man. If you're into a $2 cold snack, Troy's the place to be on a Friday night.
Who was the place in college football that gave all of their concessions for free?
Oh, who was that? I forget. It was some P4 school. Was it a P4
school? Yeah, it was like a good, a solid G5 team.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
Sorry. G6.
Whatever. Okay, we're back tomorrow, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.